The following is a presentation of New Life Christian Center in Eckley, Colorado. It is being offered as non-copyright material, so please feel free to share it with others.
Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 11. I've been warning you about this, that I had another provision-based living in me. And I've had it written for a while, and just pondering and processing when God would have me to share those things. And so this is the third part of provision-based living. You can go out there. What I've asked Jeremy and his crew to do is to make sure and keep the last two sessions. So there are eight CDs out there in two different packages, part one and part two out there. Part three, am I right, Jeremy? Part three looks just like part one and two. It just says part three on it. Okay, so you'll be able to find those things. There'll be CDs out there for you. There'll be cases of the last two sessions, and there'll be cases available for the third session if you care. I will tell you that for me, these two sessions were the sessions that I personally got the most contact about. People that we mail to, and people who are receiving our material or paying attention to it on the internet or however they get a hold of it, I have been contacted personally about this, and almost everybody said, "Wait a minute, you've messed up how I pray." And that was the goal. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you today that we have a provision-based understanding, Father, of your work in us, in your work through us, and in your work to the world. Father, we thank you that everything that we need was provided in the all-sufficient sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name, amen. Amen. All right, let's see if we can get back in gear with this. Remember that in the beginning of all of this, that we began to define this as provision-based living, meaning that before sight, it was provided. So if you think of provision being before sight, you'll get the picture here. That basically before you had a need, it was provided for. Literally means to make previous preparation or measures taken beforehand for the supply of want. Now, it doesn't say you're not going to be in want. What I'm trying to get you to see is that if you only have two options. Are you aware of this? Your first option is to be a need-based person. Okay? If you're a need-based person, let me tell you how your life goes. You look out at life and you say, "I need, I need, I need." It's all you can see. You just keep seeing, going, "Oh, dear God, I need this. Oh, I need this. Oh, you can't." And then you call up your prayer buddy and say, "Please pray about my need." That's why it messes with your prayer. Because if you can't pray about your needs anymore, and by the way, I don't know why you would want to. The Bible says, come on now, let's all think back to where we were. The Bible says the Father knows what you need before you ask. Well, what an exercise in redundancy that is. I mean, we've been taught in Christian circles to beat the door of heaven. You know, well, I was going to tell you something, the gate ain't closed. You don't have to knock on the door like that. It isn't closed. You say, "Oh, Pastor, you're just being way too fanatical about this." Okay. Can you understand with me how much more positive it is to look at what God has provided rather than staring at what you don't have? I never met so many Christians in all my life over the last 30 years that were willing to tell me what they didn't have in Jesus. And I just find that bordering on crazy. How can you look at the provision of heaven and go, "Gee, I'm really missing a lot here"? Okay, how did you do that? He knows your need before you ask. Here's what I like about that. In our passage we're going to look at in just a second, it says seek and knock and ask. And everybody has preached this to say, "Well, ask God. You got to just keep asking God and keep asking God." Can I tell you that if you'll just ask God to reveal what He's already done, you can dispense some of the rest of that gyration you're doing. Wouldn't it be better to find the revelation of what He's provided rather than asking for what you think you need. I'm telling you what, this has turned, this is so translated my life from a prayer position, and I'm really going to mess with you during this month of July when I preach this message. I just fully intend to mess with all of you. Okay? It's actually on my calendar. Mess with the church today. Okay? Because I want you to understand something here. God operates based on what He's already done, not what He's hoping to do someday. See, God operates based on what He's already done. That's the whole bane of His existence. He's already done it. Of course, we're still begging Him to do other things. Right? You arm twisters with God. Begging God. I just tell you, it's just not becoming. Look at Luke chapter 11. What's need-based living? Need-based living recognizes that we live in a state that requires supply. If you are need-based, what you recognize is that you live in a state that requires, not a state like Colorado, I mean a state of life that requires supply. And I'm here to tell you, based on what I read in the Bible, you don't require anything. And I didn't say you had everything yet. I said you don't require anything. It's already been provided. Amen? Get the other 8 CDs and listen to that over the course of the next couple of weeks. So here's how I want to say it. God has already provided what you can't see to meet the needs of what you can see. God has already provided what you can't see to meet the needs of what you can see. Already done. If it's already done and you're supposed to knock on a door, which I'm going to read that scripture in just a second. If it's already done and you're supposed to knock on the door, what are you looking for? What's behind door number one, Johnny? Kill our contestants, please. Oh, we needed that one game show. That should have been our theme music today, brother. Show us what's behind door number one. It's what God has already provided for you. See, it's not about begging for God to do something here. Let's look at this. Okay, I want to give you one more little zinger here. Boy, that's good, God. Most of us, instead of doing what Jesus has instructed us to do, are asking for Jesus to do something He's already done. Most of us aren't doing what Jesus has instructed us to do. We're asking Him to do something that He's already done. That rattled me. If He's provided it, He doesn't need to do anything. He made provision ahead of time. He knows our needs before we ask. A good God, knowing our needs, does what? Provides for them. You understand that God is not like us? Do you know I'm making this up as I go? Man, I'm trying. I got some notes up here. I'm making this up as I go. God doesn't do that. He's already got the plan. I'm just hitting, hoping I'm doing more hitting than missing here. Look at verse number 9 of chapter 11. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. See, this is great preaching about need-based theology here, if that's where we go with it. Because it says, see right here. Here it is, Pastor. Right here. I remember somebody in all of this sent me an email and they said, well, what about Philippians 4:6? Who knows what Philippians 4:6 says? I didn't either. I went and looked it up. It said, make your requests known to God. They were trying to prove how we were supposed to tell God what we needed. What they did was prove that I was right. If you make your requests known, God, reveal to me what you've already provided. You don't have to ask for what you think you need. You just have to receive what He's already done. Vroom. Let me try that again. If your request is to reveal what He's already done, you don't have to ask to receive what you're hoping that you perceive as a need. All you have to do is ask for Him to take the cover off and go, let me see what you've already provided for me. I'm telling you, that's really powerful. Some of you are looking at this thing. In fact, I named this sermon Provision-Based Living again because I thought some of you might already be tired of this. But I don't really care if you're tired or not. I will tell you that everyone who asks receives. Look at verse 10. Everyone. Can I tell you what a defining moment is? A defining moment is when something gets defined. You can't have a defining moment without a definition. You all are fixing to have a defining moment. Are you an everyone? Yeah. Everyone receives. Now, let's just go to our experience for just a second. And let's muddle this with what you truly live. This is false to most of us. Everybody doesn't receive. In fact, I've been begging God for a lot of junk over the years, and I haven't received a lot of that stuff, and I've been begging Him for it. So this scripture, by my experience, is not true. Yes and amen. Hallelujah. Of course, the Bible has to be proven by your experience, right? So if your experience is you haven't received it, where does the problem exist? Can I tell you, God is not your problem? I'll just tell you, if you just quit blaming God for stuff, He could at least adjust your stupid thinking. Whoops. You know what my daughter or my granddaughter said the other day? She was sitting in the second row. She's down to children's church. I wouldn't embarrass her if she was here, but she turned to her mom here a couple of weeks ago, and she says, "I knew sooner or later Papa'd say something that was wrong." No, that naughty word. I knew sooner or later Pop would say a naughty word. Stupid is a naughty word in their house. It's just the most accurate way to describe how we hold on to our own positions and opinions about God in spite of the evidence that we have. Everyone receives. Do you need a definition? How many of you need a defining moment? You be an everyone. Don't come at me and say, "Well, I didn't receive." That is not God's fault. You're an everyone. You're qualified. I love that part. Some of you are going, "I don't feel very qualified." Didn't ask you about your feelings. Didn't ask whether you agreed with God. Everyone receives. Does your Bible say that? Verse number 10. Everyone who asks receives. How many of you want another defining moment? Good, one guy, I preach to you. Do you know what the word receive means? A self-prompted act of reception. Self-prompted act of reception. You know what he just said? Everybody receives, or everybody prompts themselves to be a receiver. I don't have any money today. I don't have any way to tease anybody. But if I, give me, yeah, what do you got in there? A 20 will do. I could keep that. Okay. Hallelujah. Na, 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 na. Birthday boy! Would you like to receive this $20? It's your birthday, man. Would you like to drive my car? Maybe. Come on. It's a yes or no question, boy.
Yes.
You want to drive my car, but you don't want the 20 bucks?
No.
Okay. You can drive my car after church. Would you like this $20? Uh-huh. Okay. You can have this $20. What I need you to do is I need you to understand what it means to receive. A self-prompted act of reception. Ready? You understand what that means? Do you? A self-prompted act of reception. Let's see. How many of you, how old are you? 14. How many of you think that I can coax this 14-year-old who may not be the sharpest tool in our shed today... I love him dearly, but he's 14 for heaven's sakes. Okay? How do you think I can prompt him into a self-prompted action of reception here. Do you want to receive this? Okay, could you please prompt yourself to receive it? Oh! What did he do? He reached out. It's a self-prompted action of reception. What did he do? You can have it. I don't care. What did he do to receive? A self-prompted action of reception. He reached out and grabbed a hold of it. Now he's got Pastor Wes's money. Yes. How many of you agree to give Pastor Wes's money to him? Amen. Okay. Do you see how easy it is to receive? I didn't have to get him out of Webster's dictionary and tell him the original Greek and Hebrew thing. And I didn't say, you got to stand on your head in a corner and spit nickels to get this done. It's a self-prompted action. You know what he did? He reached out. Now, if birthday boy over here wants to drive my car, he better come see me after church with a self-prompted act of reception and say, hey, where are the keys? Right? If he disappears out of embarrassment, well, I don't know. I got a pretty nice car. When you get in it, if you push the number 2, it has automatic seats in it. Number 2 will take you right up there like a short person so you can drive it. If he doesn't come after church and say, hey, preacher, where are the keys? Whose fault is it that he didn't get to drive my car? His. He needs a self-prompted action of reception. Are you everyone? Can you do a self-prompted action of reception for me right now? Can you just reach out? That's all it takes. I mean, this is the simplest thing in the world. But what do people do? Oh, I got to keep asking. Is that what this scripture is about? It says everyone who asks. It doesn't say everybody who keeps on asking ad nauseum until God pukes and is so tired of listening to you that he gives you something out of self-defense to shut you up. Well, amen. Do you get that reception thing, boys? You get it? It's too bad you didn't ask for the 20. I can tell you this, he may not be the sharpest tool in the shed, but pretty sure you're below him. Amen. And I love you dearly, but you should have taken the 20. That would have worked better. It's your birthday, man. That's why I picked on you. I thought, well, at least he'll be in the receiving mood. Now, I'm not going to think for him, but I am going to talk for him. Most of us operate, sorry for picking on you so much, kinda. But most of us operate that way, and then we give ourselves a spiritual explanation about why we didn't receive. Well, obvious that he needed the money worse. Amen. That was just God's will. Besides, I get to drive the car. I'd have given you the 20 and let you drive the car. You could have had all the benefits with a self-prompted act of reception. You understand what I'm saying? You've got to tell yourself on the inside to receive. And then, if you're into this even a little bit, you need to reach out. Prompt yourself to reach out. I'm telling you, this will set you free from all this goofy religious stuff that makes you gyrate and hold your face right and beg God with these and thous and talk right and, oh, he's up there judging us. And no, he's not. Everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. Yes, amen. You know what it means to seek? Who would want to know that? Hit me, you ready? Can I tell you what I used to do? Sorry, this just makes some of you laugh, and I think maybe I need to get you on there. Can I tell you that when I was coaching basketball, I had some big kids who couldn't catch. And so I took all the little coordinated kids off to the side, and this one kid's name was Big Nick. Because my Nick was the same age and he was little Nick. Couldn't catch to save his life. And so I pulled all the little guys that were passing the ball to Big Nick and I said, stop throwing the ball at his hands. He can't use them. Throw it at his face hard as you can. And we had a drill, where Big Nick had to stand with his back to the kid that was throwing the ball. And when I blew the whistle, he pivoted around. But when I blew the whistle, the little guy was pitching the ball right at Nick's head. Can I tell you, he didn't miss it once? See, I gave him a purposeful reason for turning around, and it was to save his life, because they were, it was so much fun. And those kids would wind up, man, and you know, like, and you know, Nick caught it every time. Want to know why? His life depended on it. See, you can laugh about the story, but did you just feel me paint you into a corner? Because you guys treat this so casually instead of like your life depends on it. You're an everyone. You should be receiving. But instead, we're casual and cavalier about it. Provision-based living will absolutely transform your thinking and your acting. Everyone who seeks finds. Let's see if I can give this to you. Okay. How many ever lost your keys? And you went looking for them, right? Okay. When you were looking for them, was it because they had disappeared? Did they disappear? Or were they still there? You just didn't know where there was, right? So this is the finding. This is not the finding of something that's never... This is like the discovery of something that's always existed. So when he says, well, you seek and find, he's not talking about some magnanimous thing. It's really like, yeah, how many of you know that feeling of relief when you find your keys? Oh, and then you can remember that they were laid there, right? How have you ever done that? Where you finally found them, go, oh, that's right, I remember doing that now. That's just how the Bible works. It's a discovery. The finding is a discovery of what has always existed, but all of a sudden the eureka moment happens. You go, oh, that's where they are. It's not that they didn't exist. So when he says, it's really the discovery without the seeking for... you're discovering what exists, not hoping for something to be created in that. You know, like praying, oh God, please create my keys in the next place that I look. Okay? I mean, see, in our spiritual life, that's what we're doing. We're saying, oh God, please create what we need in the next place we look. When in reality, what he's saying is, if you'll just look where I tell you to look, you'll find what I've made for you already. Notice this says in verse number 10, and to him who knocks, it will be open. I love this word. This word is used almost exclusively in the Gospels and in Revelation in reference to the idea of opening heaven so that celestial things become manifest. So it's really when somebody turns, like when John the Revelator turns and he says, and heaven was opened before me, that's the word. He looked up into there and he said, whoa! Look what that is! He found what was... Listen, God didn't make heaven just when he opened the door. He was already up there. But he opened the door and everybody went, oh my, can you imagine? See, that's why when we see those scriptures that say, ask, you know, and you shall receive, it's talking about asking for what already exists so that you might reach out with a self-prompted action of reception. Tell you, and I know some of you may not like this, but I'm telling you what, prosperity movement had it right. You need to have your hand out expecting. Now, don't make it about money. How simple is that? If that's the only, well, I got to have more money. I can tell you that God probably won't give you more money if what you're looking for is money and what He's trying to give you is something else. You know, you never find what you're not looking for. That took a little, some of that to soak into some of you, didn't it? You never find what you're not looking for. Well, okay, what does that mean, Pastor? Why don't you look for the prosperity or the provision that God has set aside for you, what He's already created? Open. Open. Everyone who knocks, it will be open. I love this. By the way, underline that in your Bible because you're an everyone. You're an everyone. Now turn with me, if you will, to Philippians. I'm just trying to get you back in a swing of this so that you didn't lose much of that provision-based thinking from before. But turn with me, if you would, please, to Philippians chapter 4. And let me show you this part, and we'll get you back on path. And then next week, we're going to talk about how God has created you as the provision in someone else's life. You'll really like this. You were designed by God to be behind door number one. You're someone's provision. Amen. I'll tell you, that's going to be really good. Verse number 8. Finally, brethren, read the first two words, skip the middle, read the last four. Finally, brethren, meditate on these things. Now, we talked about this in the last couple of times we did, but meditate means to mumble around. Can I tell you that this should make you mumble? It's good for you. You ought to be talking to yourself, right? So that you have enough sense to have a self-prompted act of receiving. You have enough sense to look up and receive what's been opened to you in the heavens. You have enough good sense to seek and find. Meditate on these things. Verse number 9, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. I just find it interesting that he talked this way. If we're going to do what Paul did, we're going to contemplate what we learned and what we received. Now, let me help you with this. If what you thought you learned didn't line up with what you received, then you didn't learn what was necessary to prompt the receiving. You received in grace. Now, you may say, that's a great example, Pastor. Can you explain that to me? Yes. I went to Pastor Wes and he gave me $20. Was it my $20? No. It was his. He may have given it to me, and he can talk with him and see whether you're going to give it back. I'm sorry for taking your money, actually. But then it was just by grace that I went over here and I said, if you'll have a self-prompted act of receiving, you can have. And he reached right up and snatched that. He reached right up. So you see, you can sit there and say, well, I learned that. Did you receive it? Did you reach? See, sometimes what you thought you learned didn't prompt you to reach up and receive, to have a self-prompted act of reception. You didn't reach up and grab a hold of it. You just said, oh yes, I know that. I'll just tell you this, God doesn't give a lick what you know. Are you willing to take what you've learned and received? Boy, I'll tell you, I think, at least as I stand here today, I've received this. This, when somebody comes to me and says anything that even remotely reflects I've got a need, all I can see is what God has done. It is different for me now. Learned, received, heard, and saw in me. These do. And the God of peace will be with you. Oh, I like that. Verse number 11, and this was our key verse from last time. Not that I speak. Who remembers what the word speak means? Or what the original language was? Lego. Very good. Lego. Just like what you think. L-E-G-O. It literally means to build a story with words. So he's saying, not that I've Legoed this, not that I've spoke a story in regard to what? Need. So Paul's story focus was not about what he needed. Whenever Paul talked, he didn't say, oh, here's my needs. I have that, you know. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have what? Learned in whatever state to be content. So his learning produced a receiving. What was the receiving? Contentment. Come on, look at it with me. For I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. What did he learn? And what did he receive? He received contentment, didn't he? Why else would he talk this way? Whatever state I'm in, he says. These are the kind of people that can really drive you nuts. Because they seem happy in spite of their circumstances. You can see that I'm telling you what, you know, Randy said to me the other day there in church service while they were gone, and their pastor said that something like God said that no man can open a door that God's closed, and God will open the door, something like that. And then their pastor said, but it's sure hell in the hallway. Something along that. I butchered the story. Get it from him. Here's the point. Here's the point. Most of us are still living in the hallway. And there's some difficulties all around us. Everything isn't going just right. But can I tell you something? When you learn and receive what God has for you in that learning, you can receive contentment and you can live like no one else because you're content. I am so satisfied with God's provision that it changes what governs my life. I'm content. I'm not in need. My story doesn't focus on the need. I've learned in whatever state I've received contentment. Verse number 13. Well, I have it underlined in my Bible for my own study. Let me give it to you. Verse 12. I know how to be abased. I know how to be abound. But notice this is what I want you to underline. Everywhere and in all things. This jumped off the page of me the last time I was studying this out. How many of you don't believe that the everywhere includes that one place you were in when it seemed like the devil himself was there with you? You know that really bad situation where there was no possible way for that? No, he said, everywhere and in all things I have learned. Everywhere and in all things. Can I tell you that the idea behind this is that if in everywhere and in all things is actually functioning in your life, there's going to be one noticeable thing missing from you. Complaining is going to be missing. It's going to leave everywhere and in all things. You know the magic line that you all have that flips your trigger and makes you a complainer on purpose? That time where the whining needs some cheese, it's gone. Because everywhere in all things. Well, you'll get this someday. Everywhere in all things I have learned to both be full and be hungry, to abound and to see. He says, hey, I learned something about this. When these things happen, I reach up and receive. I have a self-prompted act of reception. I reach up and receive the contentment that God has for me in every place, in every circumstance. And by the way, Paul evidently was happier than most of us. And oh, by the way, he was whipped 39 times, 40 times minus one, the death sentence. He was thrown in jail. He was shipwrecked. He had some stuff going on in his life. But he said, everywhere and in all things I've learned. And that learning prompted a reception. That's why he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And can I point out to you, all you people with this plaque on your wall, you're paying attention to the wrong words. You're paying attention to what you can do. Not what He's done. It's the God who strengthens me that is the issue of this scripture. See, if you look at that, you won't have to keep trying to convince yourself of what you can do. Get the CD. That one will help you too. There's just some zinger nuggets in there. You understand that if what you focus on is what I can do, I can do, I can do, when you can no longer do, you're just going to see, I need, I need, I need. But if you'll focus on His strength, you'll never come to a place where it isn't sufficient. Of course you can do, because He has done. Right? So provision-based living is all about a functional focus on what God has already done, not what you hope He will do to save you from the difficulty of your life. Amen. Amen. John chapter 16, I'll close with this, I think. Pretty sure I will. Go ahead, music team, you can move. John chapter 16. It won't be up. It might be up on the board. I don't know. Verse number 12. Notice this. Jesus saying to his disciples, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. That word bear is a structural word. It takes into consideration what it takes to hold up the revelation. Can I tell you what's happening in the church today? That there is structural support being offered so that you can bear what's next. So you can say, like with Paul, I'm ready to be poured out like an offering, a libation offering. And libation offering was when they came during that particular festival and they got a pitcher and they poured it out on a rock in for God. I'm ready to be poured out, he said. See, we can't bear those until there's structural support for them. Verse number 13, and are you ready? However, meaning that whatever's coming after this is the support structure necessary for what you can't bear. Right? I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, meaning that when you get this part figured out, the support structure will be there for you to bear up under everything else God has to say to you. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, answer the question, has He come? Yes. Can you bear up? But what do you need? You need to learn and receive with a self-prompted act of reception. Come on. See, we're just reading these things going, oh yeah, that's what... No. You need to learn and receive. So, here's what it says. When the Spirit of truth has come, He has come, He will guide you into all the truth. What must you receive? The truth and His guidance. So, you reach up with a self-prompted act of reception and you say, I receive the guidance that's available to me. That will solve your problems. You don't need more money, in essence. The guidance will take you to where the money lives. See, occasionally, in my mind, it's way better preaching than your response to that one. Don't be doing that. Do you understand that if you will receive that, you won't have to ask for it. See? You'll be able to receive where the money is. And Mike, well, I don't know how come I got focused on money, but that's the one thing. He'll guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak of His own authority. Oh. But whatever He hears, He will speak. What's He going to talk about? Whatever God has said for you at that moment in time. That's why it's so much a colossal waste of time for you to start begging and beating on the throne room of God to hear things that He's already promised He'll show you anyway. So hear Him in the right order. See, you need a support structure, right? And He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. King James says He'll manifest it to you. He'll show it to you. He'll show it to you. What's He going to do? He's going to take what is Mine. Okay, let's get the picture. I took. If I'm the Holy Ghost and Pastor Wes is Jesus, I know, stretch, but I said, do you have anything? He said, yes, here. And I took it over here and I manifested it to Him. Are you having trouble seeing it? No. You know where it is? You still got it? How about that? Through a simple act of receiving, I took what was His and manifested it to Him. And all of you are sitting here going, how'd that work? I'd like to have $20. Pastor Wes, you got any more money? If you'll seek what heaven has, He'll take the cover off so you can see where to go to get it. That's provision-based living at its best. Amen? Stand with me, would you please? Hallelujah. Father, thank you today for teaching us by your word. We are grateful to you, Father, beyond explanation, Lord. And we thank you today specifically for the revelation of receiving, Father God, a self-prompted act of reception, Lord. And so, Lord, we lift our hands, our hearts, our minds to you, Father, and we say we are in a position of receiving for all that you have, because we are in everyone. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead, brother.
This has been a presentation of New Life Christian Center in Eckley, Colorado. Our phone number is 970-359-2424, and our website is newlifeeckley.com. Thank you for listening, and please feel free to share this material with others. Our main service begins Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., and we hope to see you at New Life Christian Center.